Welcome to the Think Leap podcast. This is Aleka, Derek's wife, and today we are joined by one of our mentors on our team, Janie Kokakis. She is a former Division I track athlete and at the University of North Iowa. Janie was also a state track champion and a four sport athlete growing up. Her athletic background gave her firsthand experience with the discipline, pressure, confidence, and mental challenges that come with competing at a high level. Today, Janie works as a speech language pathologist specializing in executive functioning and supporting neurodivergent kids and their families. Her work focuses on helping children build emotional regulation, self-awareness, confidence, organization, and the foundational skills that impact both performance and everyday life. With backgrounds in both athletics and neurodivergent development, Janie brings a unique perspective to mentoring young athletes, and she's very passionate about helping kids learn and better understand how to think, learn, and perform so that they can build confidence and thrive both on and off the field. Welcome, Janie.
Thank you.
So Janie, this conversation is going to be more of a very casual, laid back conversation about the stigma of ADHD athletes or kids that have ADHD and how they're perceived on and probably off the field. So we know you have two children, 1 9 and 1 4, right?
Yeah.
And your daughter is suspected to have ADHD, and you also as well have ADHD.
Yep.
Is that true?
And my son also has confirmed ADHD
and
too.
Your son. Okay.
Yeah.
So and what about your husband?
ADHD.
Okay, there we go. So it's all in the family. You're very aware of how it goes, right? And the stigma, I'm sure, that has been put on you and your kids, right?
100%. Yep.
Are your kids athletes? Do they play sports?
Our 4-year-old, not quite. She's into like gymnastics and stuff on her own, but our 9-year-old plays every sport possible. So.
Okay, that's awesome. And your 9-year-old is your boy, right?
Yep.
Okay. And how do you think your 9-year-old has dealt with ADHD in sports over the last few years? Has it gotten worse? Has it gotten better? Do you think people are judging him more or less? What are your thoughts?
I think it's gotten better over time just because we simply know the strategies, but it definitely depends too on coaches, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever the coach is, it depends on how they teach, how they explain things. And for my son, he struggles with emotional regulation at home, but not necessarily on the field as much. His more looks like, oh, I was given a direction and I was listening, but now it looks like I wasn't listening because I can't hold all of that information in my head at the same time. Yeah.
Okay, so on the field, if he makes a mistake or if he messes up or if his team loses, he's solid, right? He keeps his cool. But at
Yeah.
home.
Yeah, we've worked on it quite a bit in terms of like being okay on the field, but at home, definitely if things go wrong, like the emotional regulation is not there all the time. We've gotten much better.
Better at it. Yeah.
But
What
the impulses.
What situations does he get super emotional at home?
Anything. If you tell him no, like I can't go, you can't go out with your friends or go to the other neighborhood today,
yeah,
you know, it's not fair. And all of those meltdowns for 20 minutes.
Got it. And you, as an athlete playing at such a high level, do you think that it affected you on the field as well as off the field? Do you find that you were able, you know, you're similar to him, or are you completely different than
I think we're
usually?
actually pretty similar. So he has both. My husband is more hyperactive, right? And I'm more inattentive, which naturally, but he has both of us. But for me in particular, I didn't know I had ADHD until our son had ADHD. So I never even thought of that because I was like that girl who worked hard, tried everything, and then the performance just wasn't there. So I was still great at everything, but I mean, for the amount of time that I spent working on my skills, it didn't correlate into those game pressure situations.
Yeah, I understand that for sure.
And that's
So,
what we're seeing with our son too, is like, he'll work his butt off. There's no problem with that aspect. It's just sometimes those things that we worked on off the field aren't translating on the field.
yeah, That makes sense. Our son is very, he shows it, I think, more so on the field than off the field. So it's a little reverse there than your son. Don't get me wrong. He's still,
Right.
gets emotional, has a hard time emotionally at home during certain situations. But it's usually shows up in those higher pressure competitive environments, right? Where he's expected in his mind to cross is perfect, right? He has this perfectionist mindset. And if he messes up because everyone is looking at him, it's like 10 times worse, right? It's escalated. Everything feels just so much deeper. So he, yeah. So this is that stigma that I feel like we want to, I want to address is, and we actually put out a reel the other day, on our Instagram that showed, and this is me capturing from the sidelines, because I'm always recording as much as I can on the field, especially with football. It's play by play. I try to record some interceptions and picks and, touchdowns. So I'm always like record and then I'll delete if he didn't get the ball. But this time I caught him having a mini meltdown, right? And I shared that on our Instagram and Derek, my husband, was coaching, right? And I saw the interaction and people had positive, mostly positive interact, comments, but there were some negative and mean comments from parents of parents who think they understand what it's like to parent a child that has ADHD and they have no idea what it's like.
Well,
And then, go ahead.
I think it's that stigma too, right? Of like, oh, this behavior is because of bad parenting, which we see all of the time. Our ADHD kids look like normal kids, and I mean, not always acting, but for the most part, they act like normal kids too. And so it's almost that invisible diagnosis where people don't actually know what's going on in their brain. So then it's just automatically goes to this is a poor parenting
Oh, that I
situation.
hate that. I hate, and it, of course, it me and Derek think about it all the time. We don't ever want people to judge us. I don't think anybody wants to be judged. As you get older, I think you tend to care less and less, but you always are going to care, right? What are people thinking about me? And worse, what are people thinking about my child? I don't want them judging him too, because then again, it's a reflection on the parenting, which I will admit that if I was not blessed with an ADHD child, I would probably be one of those parents that would have judged. And I believe God gave, bless us with Calvin, because he's like, listen, it doesn't matter, how you were raised. It doesn't matter your parenting style. It doesn't matter this. They are who they are, and they are going to feel things deeply, and they're going to be emotional and impulsive. They don't have the tools. That this is how their brain is wired. It's different, right? No matter who you are, where they came from, how they grew up, nature, nurture, they're going to be who they are. So, it took us a long time to learn that, right, over the years. But it's something that I believe, like, I am so appreciative to have my eyes open to that, because nobody knows what's going on at home. Nobody knows what your parenting style is. Nobody knows what you've tried. And people will still judge, unfortunately.
And I think too, like when you see a kid out there and maybe they're moping around or they're having a tantrum, they're melting down, like we're quick to judge on, oh wow, they're just so emotional or they don't care because look at them, they're not paying attention. And it's like these ADHD athletes in particular usually care the most
And
and
they
they
have that hyper
internalize it.
focus, and they're really focused too, almost too much. And that's why they're so affected. And I would have some rather have, I always say this, I'd rather have 10 people on my team that, if I was a coach, that are super emotional and care, rather than the ones that are just like, oh, no big deal. Let's go get some ice cream after the game, right?
Well, because that it shows that they care, right? They're invested in the game and they really care about what they're doing. Unfortunately, just in that moment, they don't have the tools to be able to regulate. And so
You don't.
once we give them the tools and they can start working on that tools, they have a superpower.
I know. And eventually they're going to have a leg up and an advantage over the neurotypical children, right? Who have not been preparing and building those mental skills all these years. And then it's going to hit and it's going to be like, whoa, okay. cool. It was cool to see, right? I didn't learn these things when I was younger, right? I bet you if I got tested, I would have ADHD. Derek tells me all the time he gets it from you, and I'm like, probably. But I didn't have those tools, right? I have a really hard father that was, he's Greek, and he would yell from the sideline like, "Come on, Alaga!" And he would get kicked out of games, and it would be a distraction. And I hated when they yelled at me, but I knew that, he's just into it. He's just passionate. But I just feel like it's our mission to help spread awareness and let parents, other parents know, hey, you never know what's going on. Please don't judge. Parents are trying the hardest, right? Some parents, may need to seek out more support than others, and that's just okay, right? We all need help, right?
And I also think it's like we don't know what's going on at home. We don't know behind closed doors how many struggles people are having. And then the other thing is when we're talking about ADHD and in the sports, for my ADHD kid, sports are his outlet. So I'm like, there is no way that any coaching or I am going to get in the way of that still being his outlet because he
100%.
needs movement. He needs that. And if I become angry at him for having a hard time, or if I'm constantly on him, which I probably am on him more than I should be, I try, I'm not
Not
perfect. Even though I know the
perfect.
strategies, I'm still not perfect. But I don't want to take that passion out of them. If we think about the future, and these kids quit sports who once had a passion for it. ADHD kids are way more likely to become addicted to things. And so, with that
I
addictive
know.
personality, I always say sports is a great avenue to help keep them, not necessarily saying on the straight and narrow, but to help keep them out of trouble and focusing on things that are actually going to help them in life. Because the skills, the resilience, emotional regulation, the ability to bounce back after a mistake, those are all things that are going to happen every single day of their adult life.
After sports are over. I know. That's why we're doing what we're doing to help. And we try to tell parents, this isn't just for the game this weekend, the championship game. Like these are skills that honestly, I feel like parents take a lot from our sessions because we talk to the parents and we're like, listen, this is also like the visualization piece, right? The deep breathing, the resetting. We could benefit from that as parents, right? Parents need to be open to it as well and be just, it's something that I feel like our generation, I'm a millennial, right? Our generation just did not grow up used to that type of support and help. If I told my father, who is an immigrant, right? Like, dad, like we're gonna get some support from someone. He'd be like, what are you talking about, right? This is not something that we were, it's not just not traditional, right? So I think whatever we can do to support our kids, so we're not thinking, looking back in the future and saying, and this is what I actually just got off a call with a parent saying, I don't want to have the regret where in 10 years I said to myself, I wish I could have done more for my child, right?
100
That is the
percent.
biggest fear for me as a parent. Like, oh, why didn't I do this when he needed it most? I'd rather say, I spent money. I did everything I could. I gave him this support. I had coaching and mentorship. I did everything I could, right? And I know as a parent that that's all I could do, right?
And I think too, if we think about it in reverse, how thankful when our kids are grown, maybe they don't come out and say it, but how thankful your kids will be for giving them that support, for believing in them, for knowing, hey, like this wasn't my character. This was a lagging skill and a gap that I had, and you did whatever you could to help fill it.
And I think it's kind of cool how quickly the kids that we work with pick up these skills, and parents are kind of surprised at first because they're like, "Whoa, he actually did it, right? He's listening to you. They don't listen to us," which I'd be duh, right? They test boundaries with us. We are, just like with teachers, the structure's there. They're going to listen in school, right? But when they come home, they love you. You know that you're going to love them unconditionally. So they push boundaries, right? They test us. So this is why the mentorship that we're providing is such a great avenue for parents to seek out and get kids to put that accountability on them and help them build the habits. Even though what you're saying could probably be exactly, or in alignment with what we're saying, it's who's saying it and how are we, what kind of accountability are we putting on them? Because that's like the piece where they can't, they're not going to be like, oh, mom, I'm not going to do that. They do it. And it's pretty
Well,
cool.
and all the research shows that, like, for ADHD kids in particular, if they have somebody that holds them accountable outside of a very close, unconditional love family member, that we start to see that growth. And so it only makes sense. And what cooler way to do it in athletics so we can also translate it into other aspects, whether that's school or home, but to be around a professional athlete or a high-level athlete as well.
Yeah, I totally agree. What p part of what we teach in our program do you think is the most beneficial to carry over into like adult life when they get older or off the field?
Gosh, I don't want to say all of it, but really all of it. But when we talk about those executive function skills, right, which are the skills we're talking about, the emotional regulation, the ability to visualize, the core executive function skills are really like self-awareness. You can't change something if you're not aware of what's going on. And that doesn't mean it's happening in a negative way, right? When we're bringing things to these kids' attention, it's not like we're beating them down. We're actually just looking at it from an objective view and helping them gain that perception and that self-perception. Because that also goes to if you want to be a good friend, you have to have self-awareness to how you're treating your friend. If you want to have a relationship, you have to have self-awareness to how you're treating them. And then that other piece, which comes in with the visualization, is that working memory, right? The ability to visualize, use your internal GPS, see yourself doing something, and then talk to yourself and go and do it.
I saw something on the internet on the internet the other day, and it was very true, right? It was this and it was research based. It was like our brain cannot differentiate between what's factual and what's not factual, right? So if we that's like when we watch movies, we get so into the movie and it's like we're in the movie, right? And then we have dreams about the movie, right? So what we tell our minds and what we walk ourselves through, like if it's a visualization and we're literally taking ourselves through it in our minds, our brain won't be able to differentiate. And then when we get to the point, this is what we teach the kids, like when they get to that point in the game, they already saw themselves walking through that activity, making that mistake, and they already told themselves what they're going to do when that mistake happens. So then it's not a surprise to them. They're not like, oh, I don't know what to do. I'm just going to cry and throw my bat, or I'm just going to like, get super upset and fall on the floor. They already saw themselves doing it. So it's not even, it's taking away that overwhelming part of
And the
it, right?
surprise too.
Because they're like, I don't know what to do. It's another tool in their tool belt, right? That visualization piece. And I think it's also really big. And like if you're older, right? And you have a meeting, just visualizing yourself, just killing that meeting and doing such a great job and like just being your best. Like all of this carries so much into so many aspects of life that it's like, I want to find somebody else to do this with our son the way we're doing, because they won't listen to us, right? So maybe I'm going to put him with you, Janie.
There you go. And then I'll maybe put my son with one of you. There you go.
That's so
Just do a
funny.
reversal. But no, the visualization aspect is like so important. And I think when we think about it too, what we do differently here is we're not, and you said it, we're not just visualizing all the good plays, which is what people are taught to do, right? Visualize yourself doing well, doing the thing, but that's not life.
It's not realistic.
Things happen, so we need to also be able to visualize the mistakes and then have a plan to what we're going to do. And the moment the kiddos can get that is the moment they feel like they're out on the field being free again, just like they were when
Confident.
they were 5 years old, just playing, you know, where there was no contingency, winning didn't matter, nothing mattered.
Yeah, that's so true. I was talking with an athlete the other day, and we went through, a couple things, and I said, "What are you afraid of when you make a mistake? What are you afraid of when you strike out?" And he's like, "Losing." Okay, that's the consequence, right? You strike out, the consequence is losing. What if you lose? What happens? Do all your toys disappear? Like, what happens? What's the worst thing that could happen? He's like, no, he couldn't tell me, right? Okay, you miss a shot in basketball. What's the word? We lose, right? It always comes down to losing. Like that's the worst thing in a kid's mind, losing. But we need to get them to understand that losing is not a big deal. It's not the end of the world, right? We have to accept those losses and expect that they're going to happen and realize, oh, okay, it's just a loss. Like what's the biggest, what's the worst thing that can happen? That's it, right? So he kept laughing. I'm like, well, you also have to ask yourself, did you have fun? Because you can have fun losing, and I know kids have a hard time with that. But he had a game a few weeks prior, and it was like such an awesome game. And his parents said he had fun because it was like a real baseball game, right? So it's like doesn't matter, right? Just as long as you have fun, and we don't take that away from them at the younger ages, because like you said, they're gonna get burnt out. They're not gonna have fun anymore. And if it's the best therapy for ADHD kids, why would we try everything we can to make it not fun for them, right?
I totally agree. And I think when you think about it, ADHD kids tend to be black and white thinkers. So when we think about losing, losing means I'm bad. And that just didn't mean, it doesn't mean I lost the game, which is different verbiage from I'm a loser, right? Where winning, we won the game, whereas I'm a winner. So they look at it as like this is their identity. And the ability to pull that back and allow kids to realize, hey, actually, winning is great, but if we're winning all of the time, we're usually not learning anything. If you look at all professional athletes, they learn the most when they're losing. If they can take something from that loss, they're going to learn. For instance, we're a big baseball family here, but Royce Lewis for the Minnesota Twins, he got called down to the minors, got his mental game, got his everything back, his mechanics, came back, and is now like on a huge hit streak and doing great. So even the highest professional athletes have to take those moments to step back, and he learned from it and is now succeeding again.
100%. I think that's why putting kids in those situations to fail is doing them more of a, because I think more of a service than a disservice. As parents of ADHD kids, it's so hard to not try to control the situation because you're like, okay, he wants to play chess. Uh-oh. Okay, get ready because it's probably going to end up in a meltdown. And I'm going to lose on purpose so that he wins, so that I avoid the fight. That's doing them a disservice,
It
right?
is.
Have to put them in situations where they're going to fail and then teach them ideally when they're not emotional and say, hey, you may lose. What are you going to do after you lose? Are you going to give up halfway through? Because with chess, you kind of know when you're kind of like, hey, I'm right, I'm cornered. But we avoid that as parents just to like, because we want to avoid conflict at all costs, right? So we just like do whatever we can to appease them. But that's just the worst way to get them used to real world situations and failure, right?
Right, 100%. And I think a lot of it comes from too just the fatigue of the constant conflict and always having to have that. But I think once we realize that we're not going to give in to these kids, like we're going to have empathy for them, but we're also going to set our boundaries and make it known, these kids actually thrive. It's why some kids do really great at school. And then they struggle at home or they struggle somewhere else where there's not that structure and not that consistency because we don't want to cause that conflict or we give in to them.
Yeah, I know. We've learned not the hard way, actually, but we've started to realize, hey, we're going to suck it up and deal with any emotional crying now because it always gets better, right? It may be 10 minutes of crying the first time he loses, right? The second time it's 8 minutes, the third time it's five, and then it gets decreases and decreases because he knows crying's not getting me anywhere, right? So avoiding the crying, avoiding those meltdowns in those situations is also not the way to approach it. So I just want to make sure that parents are do I know it's hard, right? Especially when you feel like you want to have an emotional breakdown. You try to avoid it. We all, it's been a long day at work, but trying to, make sure that we don't avoid those conflicts is also something to think about. And even like You can even schedule a potential conflict situation, right? Hey, we're going to play a game now, okay? And you know
Yeah.
your child doesn't do good with games, okay? Get yourself ready for that. And maybe you talk to him about it earlier. Like, I can't wait to play a game with you, right? You know, if I lose, I just want to make sure I have fun, right? Just talk about things before it happens. I think that's a big piece of also making sure that they're prepared for that moment,
It
you know?
is. It is. And I think if you relate that back to the ball field or whatever sport they're playing, that's really important for coaches to understand too. Because I always say, even if you feel like you're having to coach differently, specifically for a neurodivergent athlete, everybody has executive function skills. And so these strategies can help all kids. It's not like I'm tailoring it
I
just for
know.
this kid, but
That's
it's
so
like
true.
they help
That's so
everybody.
true. It's not like you have to diversify your coach. Like as a teacher, you have to diversify. You have to kind of like, you know, maybe you give them a worksheet, you read things to them, or you know, whatever it is. But with coaching, you just teach this way and everyone else is going to get it because it's probably coming across better anyway, right? And you showing them how to do the drill and taking them through and walking them through is going to help everyone else, even if they're neurotypical. So that's a really good point as well.
Right, and I always say if a coach knows that your child has ADHD, which a lot of parents, there's some parents who are like, I don't want to tell them, but I'm like, if they are a receptive coach, it's better for them to know because then they can have awareness. So if I have two ADHD athletes on my team, I'm choosing them to model the drill with me every single time. Why? Because of that working memory. Those kiddos not only need to hear it, they need to be doing it, they need to see it modeled, they need to have multiple modes of that getting through their head. Because otherwise, you've told them, explained a drill, and it's five steps. And they can't hold on to that information.
No
It's not that they're being
way.
defiant, or it's not that they're trying to just blow it off or not paying
Or not that
attention.
they don't
It's,
care.
yeah, they literally just can't hold it all in their head and
I
then go
can't.
and use it.
Exactly. I couldn't either. I'm like, just show me. Like, don't tell me, just show me. And even in, and the next level is take me through it. So that would be it's such an easy switch that coaches can do. But you mentioned something that I want to ask. So you said a lot of parents don't want to share that their child is ADHD. And I think that ties back to the stigma and the myths that, oh, you know, he's going to be uncoachable. He's going to be hard. So don't judge him before you get a chance to know him. Do you think that's why do you think parents don't want to share that piece with even like other parents on the field?
I think it can go multiple ways. I think it can be yes, like I don't want them to automatically assume that he's uncoachable or unable to do things, but I also think it's I don't want him to have an excuse. You know, I want to make sure that he feels like that the coaches feel like we're still he's just another kid.
Don't
I
treat him
don't,
differently.
yes. But in reality, the strategies that take place on the ball field aren't really that
It's not like you're
crazy or
taking him into a
drastic.
separate classroom like they do
No.
for, you know, testing in schools,
Yeah.
right? It's still everybody. It's not you're pointing or what's the word? Secluding him, right?
Yeah.
It's you're still including him. You're just making things a little easier for everybody. So, but that's interesting that you said like you don't want. So I wonder if, you know, in the conversation with the coach, with again, parents should be doing this with all of your kids' coaches in the beginning of the year. And if you haven't yet, it's never too late. But have that conversation and say, just so you know, my son, daughter is, you know, ADHD. Here's what they respond well to.
Yes.
Please don't lower your expectations,
No,
but
because we need
make
to keep
sure.
those expectations high.
That's a big piece of it, right? We don't want you to like make things easy for like let him score. No, right? But make sure that he understands what's happening because usually they get overwhelmed when they don't understand something, right? Or again, they're not prepared for what's going to happen, right? So, and then if he does melt down or if he does cry or get emotional, this is how he responds best. We want you to just ignore him, or we want you to go over to him because he really just wants some positive praise at that point. You know what I'm saying? So, and as a parent, you know them best. So,
And
why
every
would
kid
you?
is different.
And every kid is different, right? So, that would be a I guess that would be the differentiation of the coaching, right? How to respond to different kids when they do get a little bit emotionally, a little emotional on the field about anything that happens is, hey, this child needs to have his space. Leave him alone. Make sure the kids leave him alone. Or this child needs, you need you to encourage him, right? He needs you to say, hey, I'm not mad at you, right? You're still doing great, right? So I think that's also, that could be a piece of it where, if you feel comfortable telling the coach, which I think, again, you're going to help your child more than hurt them, but the coach also has to be open to it. And if the coach, like my son's basketball coach right now is just, he's playing in a summer league because he loves it, and the more activity for him, the better. But he's not my favorite. He's not somebody that'll go up and tell that because I feel like he would be somebody that would immediately judge and maybe not put him in situations because he doesn't think he can handle them, right? But you have to feel out your coach, and obviously, if the coach is not supportive, it is worth seeking out a different team just for that. I honestly believe so many parents we talk to, it's like the coaches ruin the experience for the kids, and that's the first way that they're gonna lead to, quitting or not, having fun.
100%. And like some of these coaches are, vo most of them in youth sports are volunteer, right? And so we do get that mix and that divide of coaches who are just there to win versus coaches are who are there to skill develop and develop these young kids as, better humans going out into the future. And I think that's a hard thing for parents, but I agree. Seek out a different league, speak with them, even if it's in the same league, if you could find a different coach. And then also just continue to have those open conversations because the more you can have those open conversations with those coaches, if you feel comfortable, hopefully the more understanding they have. Because the reality is, a lot of people, even coaches, don't really understand ADHD.
Yeah, they
They
don't.
think it's hyperactive, bouncing off the walls, and that is not what it is.
There's so many, it shows up in so many different ways. Obviously, everyone's different, like you said, but I think the more parents communicate, because there's at least a couple kids on every team, the more parents communicate and say, hey, this is, my child is this, they have this, they're struggling with this. I think the coaches are going to become more aware and educated and not fear, because I do feel like some coaches will fear that because then they feel like they have to change everything they're doing, or they don't, they're afraid that they're going to say or do something, or they're afraid of how the child's going to act. I think taking away that fear also is going to help take away that stigma as well. You know what I'm saying?
And it's also to be able to come out with it, whether it's a coach or the parent, other parents on the team, makes it so much less isolating as a parent. Because you're not
Yeah,
sitting
I
there
know.
biting your nails, like, what are
I
they
know.
thinking? It's just more like, okay, they're aware.
Yeah.
They may think it's an excuse, or they may, think that it's bad parenting, but also they're aware that this is happening. And so if they choose to judge me or my child, that is an uncontrollable thing for me. I can't control that. What I can control is I've said it, I've told them, I've given them the resources or the things that work, and now the rest of that is kind of out of my control.
That's funny because we teach the controllables and uncontrollers with the kids, is where the parents can learn something as well. But that's funny because right now, and that's a good point, because if the child is the athlete is not, successful right now in the field and things are not working out and you have not yet told the coach about that, now maybe we should try. You know what I'm saying? Like, if it's not working right now, what are you afraid of? Right. So share that with the coach and see how they respond. Right. You may be surprised. You may say, hey, my child is too, right? I just didn't tell anybody. Right. It's that fear of judgment. And like, if something happens, it's going to be immediately, oh, that's because they have ADHD. I feel like that's also, what parents think. And in my mind, I'm visualizing like the baseball field because that's where it shined the most. And I'm going to say shined the most for our son when he was started playing at like 6 and 7. Oh boy, it was really, really, really bad. And we didn't tell anybody at that time. He wasn't diagnosed that young, but even if he was, I don't think it would have made a difference, to be honest. So like, just it doesn't matter. But that was the toughest part for us as parents is on the, and especially because of Derek was, played professionally. He's like,
Right.
yeah, my son should know how to act, and everyone's looking at him like, oh yeah, Derek's son is going to be awesome, right? He was awesome. No, right? I mean, yeah, he's a great athlete, but he doesn't come across as that same way. And I feel like people talking, eventually they get to know and they say, oh, okay, Calvin has a hard time doing this, which then when they pick teams the following season, which I didn't like how they did that, they should just randomly pick at that age.
Right.
But they would pick teams and say, okay, well, maybe some coaches now aren't going to pick this player, right? Because of what I've heard and seen him do, right? Why? Because you can't handle him. Now you're not going to have him on your team, right? Which is totally unfair to the child, right? So it's tough for parents for sure. But I think we need to take out the personal aspect of it and not take things personally. I think that's like the biggest thing me and Derek have learned over the last years is don't take it personally. Like if somebody is going to judge you, if your child does something, like it is what it is. You can't control that, like we said. And just gotta, it is what it is. If people know you and they truly, like we have our set of friends that truly know Calvin and us, and it's like, oh, they know that we're great parents and we do everything we can for him, and that's what it is. And everyone
Yeah.
else can just think what they want to think, right?
100%. And I think too, like, if we're telling coaches, they can do what the inform with what they can do with whatever they want with the information, right?
Yep.
But also, if we're not telling the kid, the coaches, and these kids come off as appearing disinterested, not a team player, saying things inappropriately to somebody else, then these kids get a bad rap for
Yeah,
themselves.
I
When
know.
in reality, they're just emotionally flooded in the moment, and so
Yeah.
they can't get themselves out of it. Whereas if they were aware, we may have a strategy that we can put in place and that can help that. Because a lot of times, too, with these ADHD kids, they have no self-awareness, or could they even remember that, a kid struck
Yeah.
out and they go up to him and say, "That was the last out. We're probably not going to win the game now."
Yeah.
They have the self-awareness may not be there to realize that's not a good friend.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
And the same thing goes on themselves, right? If they're the ones that strike out and that
Yeah.
meltdown happens,
Yeah.
they don't have that self-awareness to be able to be like, okay, this wasn't the end of the world.
Yep.
This is okay. I can move on. I can reset. And if we have coaches, parents, and the athlete all learning these strategies, wow.
Yeah, I know. I know. That would be so much more supportive for our kids. Okay, one last question I have. What do you think is the biggest myth that about ADHD athletes that you want to kind of squash right now?
Definitely that they don't care. Hundred
I love that.
percent, I think,
I think
because
so too.
it can come off as kids don't care when they aren't paying attention, or they look like they're not paying attention, or they're moping around after they had a bad play and not getting back to it, or they're not coachable.
Yeah.
They want to be coachable.
Yeah.
They have this black and white thinking
Yeah.
where, oh, coach told me I did something wrong, and so now I'm bad. Versus when coach tells me I did something right, now I'm good. When in reality, they're both feedback. They're both constructive. They're both can be helpful. But to our ADHD kids, they take it very personally. And some other athletes do too. But they do care. And most of the time, unless they're being forced into a sport, forced into something that they really don't care about,
Yeah.
most of the time, those ADHD kids are the ones that care the most, and they carry that with them the longest.
Totally agree. Like the amount of care, it's almost too much, right? And it's like, it's okay. It's just a game. We're supposed to have fun, right? The whole purpose is to have fun. So getting them to realize that is tough, but I think that's a great myth. I'm going to share one myth that I think is also up there, and it's kids with ADHD. Athletes with ADHD that have emotional meltdowns are not receiving the discipline at home that they should,
Oh, that's a great one.
right? They're not disciplined. The parents don't discipline him. Where is their accountability? Like, what? The amount of discipline we have tried, and we've both, like Derek was raised by a father who was very strict, right? And didn't allow much wiggle room, right? And my father was also very strict, a little bit more loving because I think it was a father-daughter relationship, right? But we were not given things easily, right? We had to work hard. So we also have tried to very con there's consequences for everything and very hard, tough parenting, tough love parenting. And that did not work for him.
It usually backfires.
It usually backfires because then they don't want to hear anything. They don't want to talk to you. When they don't want to talk to you, it's like we're never going to be able to teach him these tools to help him. So it's like now we put the wall up, right? Forget about it, right? He at night now, because he wants to talk to me, we talk at night about all of this stuff, right? He's like, I want to talk because he doesn't want to go to sleep, right? I want to talk, mommy. Okay, so let's talk, right? And I'm trying to like say, I'm tired, not, I'm so tired, but I'm trying to say, hey, this is your opportunity, mom. Like, listen up and maybe you can weave in some lessons in there as well. And he usually listens then. So the discipline at piece of it is just, it makes me so mad. And I try not to take it personally, right? It just makes me and Derek so mad because, like, we hear it from other parents, and it's like, and some of the comments that we receive, and so you don't even know the type of discipline that we tried, right? And the just give having no leeway, right? Like, you did that, okay, now you're not going to be able to have any, like, that's not going to work, right? Give it. So, yeah, I think that's those myths are
You
really great.
definitely have to have the high expectations, but like highly giving too. It has to be that middle ground. Like we can't do the
Empathetic and
completely
loving.
gentle parenting, but we also can't
No.
just be drill sergeant with our kids either. And both ways you see create big problems for kids with ADHD.
And I think the middle ground is the loving accountability, don't you think?
Yes,
Right? Like,
100%.
you're accountable for this. We hold you these expectations, whether it's taking out the trash or practicing every day or getting your equipment ready before the game,
Big
because
one.
yeah, like why would you not? I mean, if your kid can put on their clothes in the morning, they should be able to grab their stuff and get it ready by the door. You know what I'm saying? That's like little accountability pieces that I feel like just build them up and get them into those good habits, focus on the game.
And it
So
also builds their self-worth too.
yeah, for
That's the
sure.
biggest thing. Like that self-worth and self-confidence doesn't come from people saying, you're amazing, you're great, right? It comes from them putting in the work and doing the things and realizing, oh, I am independent. I can do this. I am capable. You can't build, somebody else can't build that for you.
I agree.
They can help you tear it down, but they cannot build it for you.
Oh, I know. You got it. Any other last minute thoughts?
I could go on, but
I
that
know
would
I
be
could
like
go
a
on. So
3-hour podcast.
I know I have so many questions that I like just want to keep asking, but we'll keep it short and sweet. But yeah, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with everybody and letting everyone get an idea and just hear you and your perspective and your thoughts. And I would love for you guys, if you're listening and you have an athlete who is struggling, we would love to pair you up with one of our mentors. And Janie, she's amazing. Feel free to reach out on our website or on Instagram. And yeah, thanks so much, Janie, for joining us
Thanks for
today.
having me.
Great conversation. Bye, everyone.